Welcome to this week's midweek message, and we're going to continue our teachings on finding the will of God. And this week I'm going to look at the principle of the 90%, and I'm going to give you some questions to ask yourself. So what is the principle of the 90%? See, finding God's will for your life is not quite as difficult as perhaps some people make out it to be. In fact, 90% of God's will for my life and for your life is the same. It's doing what God reveals to all of us in his word. We're all supposed to do the Bible stuff, so to speak, and there's a lot of it. The essentials. So I want to find God's will for my life, but I need to stick with the essentials. They include loving God with all my heart, soul, and mind, loving one another in the Christian community, loving my neighbor, going into the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ, becoming a worshiper, telling the truth, and so forth and so on. 90% of what God wants us to do is the same for all of us. On the other side, God's will never includes an exemption from character traits like integrity or an allowance for cruelty. So 90% of what we're not supposed to do is the same for everyone too. Between the do's and the don'ts, the overwhelming majority of God's will is the same for all of us. You know, although we're made unique, the principles of God's word are eternal, and they're for every one of us. So when we're looking about finding the will of God, if we stick to the essentials, walk the love road, love one another, worship God, as we stick to the essentials, then God makes clear there's things that are pertaining to our life, our church, our situation. We often want to skip past those essentials, though, and we just want to jump into, what do you want me to do, Lord? What do you want me to do, Lord? Well, I'll give you something. Rejoice always. That's what Philippians says. Pray without ceasing. Thessalonians says that. Love one another. 1 John says that. So here are the essentials. Let's do the essentials first. And then allow the specific details of God's will for your life to work, to look after themselves. See, finding God's will is not all that hard, is it? We just need to start taking those 90% more seriously, always. Now, no matter how long we've been a Christian, how mature we are, what our ministry is, what we do, we never outgrow the need to live a life that exudes the fruit of God's Spirit. It exudes God's love and character. Thankfully, once we start to do the 90%, it opens up the door for us to see what the 10% is. And even if it doesn't, as we continue along the road, God will speak. So I wanted to give you five questions then to ask yourself. Five questions to know God's will for your life. These questions are just helpful. There's nothing magical about them. They don't give you answers. There's no fleeces involved. There's no open or shut doors. But they just help you focus your mind to help you discern what God's will is. So number one, what do I really want? It seems obvious, but most of us never answer this simple question. Not clearly anyway. We may think we know, but we couldn't put it down on paper in a complete sentence. What do you really want? Because we've never tackled the challenge of drilling down into our desires and heart to find out what is it in my heart that I really want. Do you know, I was giving thanks to God last week. It was just last week. And I was thinking that there was nothing material that I really wanted. Nothing. I couldn't think of anything. I was so blessed. I'm blessed with my family. I'm blessed with my home. I'm blessed with my car. I mean, I've got a beautiful car and I don't want to change it. I love my car. I'm blessed with food on my table. And, you know, I was thinking, I am so blessed. There's nothing more I want. And then I consider, well, what do I really want? Do you know what I really want isn't material? I want to see a move of the Holy Spirit. I want to see a move of the Holy Spirit in my life. I want to see a move of the Holy Spirit in the life of our church. I want to see a move of the Holy Spirit in the life of the South Wales and the nation. I want to see God move in a way that perhaps we haven't seen for a generation. That's what I really want. When I dig down deep into my heart, what I really want is the same as what I really wanted 30 years ago when I started this journey. I want to see God move. And whether we call it move in revival or move by his spirit, or I want to see a move of God. That's what I really want. But what do you want? Second question. Am I truly seeking God's kingdom first? You know, our why will determine our what and our how. Am I seeking God's kingdom first? We're joint heirs of the kingdom of heaven. And that must be our priority. Jesus said this. He said, seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness, and all this stuff will be added to you. Matthew chapter 6. So the kingdom is the rule of God, and the righteousness is the ways of God. And I need to know, am I really seeking God's kingdom? You know, as you all know, I've been preaching the gospel for 30 years or so. Do I really want to see a move of the Spirit for the glory of God, which is what I said I really wanted? Or am I seeking a move of the Spirit for a promotion of myself? Do I want to see myself promoted? That would be not the kingdom. Or do I want to see Jesus promoted? And, you know, we just really need to ask those questions. And I would trust that, you know, I am here not for my self-promotion, but for the promotion of Jesus, for the promotion of the kingdom, for the glory of God. And sometimes, you know, in the past, at various times, my motives haven't been pure. They've been selfish and self-promoting. And I've had to repent and I've had to turn from them to say, I want the kingdom first. Number three, ask this question. Have I asked for and pursued wisdom? See, it's one thing to ask for wisdom. It's another to seek after it like hidden treasure. It's available to all who ask for it in faith from the God of all wisdom. You know, if we read chapter 1 of James, it says, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask. But let him ask in faith, knowing that a double-minded man receives nothing from God. So right now, we're in the middle of a pandemic, and I'm reviewing where we're going as a church. I'm saying, what is the wisdom for the way forward? You know, I've not given up on the principles that I know to love God, that we would love one another, that we would love the world. But how do we do this in a COVID pandemic, COVID-19 pandemic? And I need the wisdom of God. I'm saying, God, what is your wisdom? What is your leading for the way forward? What are you saying? And we need to ask with fervence and prayer and perhaps fasting. Say, God, give me your wisdom. I ask you for wisdom for my life. What is your wisdom? Where are you taking me? Where are you taking me? What is the leading of the Holy Ghost? And as we consistently feed off the word of God, he'll start to reveal his wisdom. Do you know, I've just been reading Habakkuk and Hebrews just today and yesterday. And just out of that, I'm just seeing something of God's wisdom. And it's just wants to explode on the inside of me. And no doubt on Sunday, I will be able to share it with the church. But am I looking for wisdom? Number four, have I received wise counsel? Proverbs 11 verse 14 says this, there is safety in wise counselors. Most of us know we should get advice, but all too often we stack the deck with people who are going to agree with what we're going to say. Advisors to focus the choices we make in the first place. We've made a choice and we just want somebody to agree with us. But we need to seek wise counsel. We need to go to an array of people, people who will bring the word of God, people who will challenge what we'll say, people who will test. See, if we've heard from God, that word can be tested by others and found to be true. So let's ask for wise counsel. And the second, or the fifth thing, sorry, not the second thing, is do you have all the facts? Sometimes we make decisions not knowing all the facts, and then we don't make the wisest decision. You know, I'm sure I'm not the only one that's made decisions based on what I thought I knew. only to find out later that my data was wrong? Or has anybody ever come up to you and said, oh, so-and-so said this, and then you can get really angry or offended or upset, but when you go to them, they say, I didn't say that. And you realize that it's hearsay. It's what they heard they say, that they tell you, rather than what is actually said. You know, and sometimes we just need to get our facts right. And particularly when it's to do with other people, it's like I've learned that let's look at the character of the person and let's not jump to conclusions of what they said. But we've all then done this. You know, when Mary stood in front of the open tomb, she didn't have all the facts. And she said to the gardener, where have you taken the Lord? Not realizing that that was the Lord. She was wrong. And when we don't know what we don't know, we're in trouble. We need to turn over a few rocks. We need to examine it. We need to look at what the scripture says. We need to dig a little deeper. Be sure you know what you know when you make life-changing decisions. Make your decision on veritable facts whenever possible, instead of what you hope will happen. You know, and I would end with this thought. It's, you know, the Bible speaks, and the more of the word that we have in us, the more we're able to make wise decisions. The more we're able to see the facts in the light of God's word. So go away and ask yourself those questions. And we're going to come back. We're going to do one more session on the will of God. That'll be the final session in this series of teachings that we're doing in the midweek. But I want to help you find God's will for now as you move forward into all that he's got for you. So God bless you. We'll see you again soon.